Wherever man has gone, with his ever-evolving systems of progress, he has found the devil in the wilderness. For it is in nature that chaos reigns, in the tangled branches and roots, in the animals devouring each other. This, to man, is the domain of something evil. Because back home, in the safety of his village, where the wilderness ends, and where fire burns by careful cultivation, back home, amongst the warmth of civilization, the wilderness becomes an imaginary place, and the devil that walks the road at night, shaking hands with weary travelers, is little more than a story. Here in Ontario, in the current year, it can be said with authority that our society no longer believes in the devil, nor his demons. And yet still, in among the shadows, they lurk. We've stopped believing, as we stopped believing in many things, because we trust science to explain our natural world. And within the scientific explanation, there's no room for the supernatural. When the first Jesuit missionaries arrived in what we now call Ontario, they referred to this land as the Empire of Satan. From the moment that European Christians set foot on this continent, they witnessed sights and sounds that within their spiritual worldview signified great evil, the work of the devil himself or his minions. And while the Hurons and the Iroquois and other people who had inhabited this land lived within a different spiritual worldview, they too had stories of great evil, beings like the Wendigo, which in modern times has been depicted with the head of an antlered stag and the human body disfigured by sin. Could these different experiences of evil be related? Perhaps somewhere in our collective unconscious, vestiges from our ancestors who lived in the wilderness and who were themselves a part of the wilderness. Because it doesn't matter who you are or what your spiritual worldview, when you stand at the edge of the wilderness, in the middle of the night, you open yourself up to experiences that we are usually protected from, and you lean ever so slightly into a latent darkness at the heart of man. Some believe our entire world is fallen, that certain people are cursed, that this entire land is cursed. Maybe these things, evil things, can happen to anyone. Anyone who stands alone at an empty...
tell you where we are now. Nope. Completely out of my element here.
All right, so I don't know. we're totally lost.
Yeah.
I just got a sense that we're gonna start seeing, you know, Jesus signs out here. God is a savior.
Look at a road map of Ontario. Tell me that is just not completely fucking random.
Southern Ontario, you're right. There's like a, sort of like the grid pattern that they have out down in the States, but between the main lines and concessions, you got curving dirt roads, you got loops that go nowhere. It is just one big clusterfuck, entire infrastructure system down here. I was driving around with my friend the other night out near Langford. There's this old schoolhouse down there. Went there and get my trapping license years back. I go there every now and then just to have a dart and think about things. But dude, I guess apparently there's a dirt road beside it, which I'd never noticed before. So we turned off on it and we're cruising around the dirt road and we kept going straight the entire time, still staying on the same road. And then we ended up right back where we started, on the opposite side of the schoolhouse. So it was like a 3 kilometer long loop through a farmer's field, completely marked out on the map, that just went nowhere through a field and came back to the main highway. And you have those all over the place. Weird anomalies. Also, that was a nice town we just drove through for 30 seconds there, Hessen. Folks of Hessen, hope it's all going good.
And I think this is where we enter into the crossroads.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I believe this is where we start off with the crossroads. So to start it off, we'll set the scene. We drove around, decided to hit up
a pretty large cemetery right in the center of Kitchener-Waterloo. Being
goth as we are, we were in the cemetery taking photos of some of these old and ornate statues.
Yes. And so we wandered through the cemetery and headed back towards the car. Started driving back through Kitchener. We got pulled over by the police, who told us that our headlights were off. And sure enough, the knob had been switched to off. Of course, maybe I did this inadvertently, but that is very important to the events that occur later on.
Right, and in a horror movie, this would be sort of the first warning. You know, the
first sign.
The town sheriff coming up to the car saying, oh, you kids, you best turn around.
There's no good happening out here.
No good.
Well, that was actually my first time getting pulled over by the cops. So we decided to bool around, and being out in the country on a dark night, we decided to put on some Robert Johnson. And I'm sure many of our listeners will know who Robert Johnson is, but for those who don't, the legend goes with Robert Johnson that he lived on an old plantation working as a sharecropper, and would go from juke joint to juke joint playing his guitar. And he wasn't particularly good at it during the early stage of his life, but he disappeared for 1 year in the early 1930s. There's no record of him anywhere. And he came back to his hometown a year later, and to the shock of everybody, he had mastered the guitar unlike anyone else they had ever heard. A legend grew out of that, the Faustian legend, that he himself never denied that one day during this missing year, he took his guitar at midnight with him on his back and went out onto the crossroads. And he was met there by a tall, dark figure, a tall, dark man in a suit who outstretched his hands, and Mr. Johnson gave him his guitar. Of course, this tall, dark man in the suit, as the story goes, was the devil himself. And he tuned the guitar, played a few songs, and handed it back to him. And in order to complete the deal, he sold his soul to the devil to become the greatest guitar player of all time. So, listening to Robert Johnson, we're just driving around, and we're listening to Crossroads Blues, funny enough, and as the song starts playing, we pull up to a stop sign at a crossroads. So we look
and that
forward.
Was the first mistaken intent.
And we pull off to the side of the road, and I go to turn the car off. The last lyrics that come through the speaker, you, me, and the devil. Car turns off. The lights that had us pulled over by the police because they were not on, now decided to not turn off. So I say jokingly, oh, very funny, now he won't turn off. And as I say that, but the lights shut off.
We get out of the car, let's describe this crossroads.
Yes, 2 roads intersecting, or one side of the crossroads has a forest The other side has a field of corn on it.
One road paved, one less so.
Yes. There's a nice, bright full moon out. And we look upon the one field. What do we see wandering through this field but...
a faint yellow light.
Wandering through the corn.
Or a farmer out observing his fields with a lantern.
As we're watching this light, it kind of...
snuffs out.
There may just indeed be something out here, be it a spirit, an energy. So, to be kind, to make sure it doesn't follow us, we should leave it some kind of an offer.
I cannot stress this enough. Do not go making offerings to random
entities at a crossroads.
At a crossroads.
We had a little bottle of whiskey.
And off to one of the sides of this crossroads, there is a wooden post. So we walk over it, and we sprinkle it around in a circle. We decide to leave it there. And as soon as it touches the wood, what do we hear coming out from the field adjacent to the one where we just saw the light?
But a very loud thump. A blast.
It was as if the sound of the act of just placing that bottle down on the stem was amplified
a million times
and reverberating through the entire landscape. It was loud. That was a message, and maybe not a welcome message.
So we got out of there as quickly as we could.
And then we returned almost as quickly.
My second unexplainable occurrence at the crossroads came a few weeks after our initial encounter. We were cruising around the area late at night with some buddies and decided to stop off at the home of a famous Canadian mystic. His property has been maintained and restored as a museum. So we wandered around the grounds and left him a couple offerings and performed a little bit of a ritual on his back lawn, if you will, try and conjure up his spirit, have him watch over us. This was a great man, a very famous man, who was very in tune with the spiritual world, very famously would consult with the other side during his daily dealings. So after exploring his home and his property, we decided to head off to that strange intersection that a few weeks beforehand, me and my co-host had run into something. We'd run into something out there. We weren't sure what it was yet, but we've been telling our buddies all night, you know, well, you know, it's right in the area. It's really close to us. We had this happen to us. It was very, very, very weird. So we decided, you know what? Let's head out there. So the five of us packed back into my friend's car, left the city, and made our way out towards the crossroads. Now, we arrived there about 10 minutes prior to midnight. We figured we should try and perform, you know, the same ritual, do the same things we did beforehand, see if it can't happen again. We happened to have a little bottle of alcohol on us. We cracked it open. We left it on a little wooden post there, poured a little bit around. Now, unfortunately for our non-believer friends, a couple of them were quite skeptical of what we'd been telling them. Nothing physical happened. However, the whole time we were there, for about half an hour or so, I was snapping some photos, standing there at the side of the road, taking some of the stars, taking some of the lights, trying to capture car headlights. And just after midnight, as I was snapping these photos and immediately looking at them, I noticed that in every second or third photo I took, there were these strange lights and streaks that were captured in the photographs. And each one was of a different brightness or a different thickness or headed towards a different direction or in a different shape. And at first I thought, you know, maybe it could be fireflies or somebody's phone light or car headlights. I showed it to my buddies and I was like, well, look at this. What the hell's happening here? Right? And they couldn't really explain it. There were no car headlights shining at us. There were a few out in the distance, but nothing that could make these fairly bright blue streaks in the camera. Our phones weren't really on. We weren't really shining our flashlights around. So I kept taking the pictures. And I take one, and it was just their silhouettes against the city lights off in the background. And then I take another one, and sure enough, a blue streak headed above their heads. I take another one, nothing. I change direction. Like a inverted V above their heads. I take another one, yet another streak, but headed in the opposite direction from the previous one.
and we were racking our brains trying to figure out what the heck was happening. And at this point, the guys were getting pretty scared and pretty spooked, obviously, because this is quite strange. We were talking about seeing strange lights here before, and now sure enough, what's happening? We're getting these strange lights showing up on our phone right above our heads as though it's following us around as we move. It's almost mocking us. And then we turned due north, and I took a snapshot, and there was an open field, so I took the picture of this field, and my heart dropped when I went to check the photo, and I just, without saying a word, turned my phone over to my buddies and showed it to them, and they, almost in unison, looked back and said, "What the fuck?" And this last photo that we took, looking due north, big, bright streak in the sky, was a very obvious, very legible letter, which just so happened to be the first initial of the Canadian mystic whose home we had just visited not even an hour beforehand. Now, I don't know if perhaps his spirit came out there with us that night, or if it was whatever entity we had previously encountered and would encounter again, perhaps making fun of us, or I don't know, but seeing this big bright streak, this letter, just bright as day right there in the photo that we took, we hightailed it out of there. Now that's two unexplained encounters in a row at this crossroads, so we knew something is going on out there, or something is out there, and we decided, of course, next time we were in the area, that we would return.
My mother has told me about a reoccurring dream she has. She's terrified of the Burlington Skyway, and it's this dream or this nightmare where she's just driving up it, and it just keeps going up and up and up, and there's no end.
Interesting.
That shows you how the road gets into your psyche.
Especially that stretch there, the James and Allen Skyway Bridge and a lift bridge right beside it. You just see the smokestacks and the chimneys and the giant loading bays and the docks from Stelco. And the lift bridge itself is so long. It's so long. I can understand why she's having
stairway
that.
Stairway to heaven.
It's just stairway to somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. You ever have driving dreams?
Yeah, actually, I had one the other night. Oddly enough, so what happened was I was driving with my friend. Funny enough, we were driving to Burlington towards the Skyway Bridge. We're driving out that direction, and that way it's a completely urban and industrial area. But for some reason, there was a dirt side road jutting off the QEW. And for some reason, I turned, and as soon as I did, it went from being the QEWs to like a run-down, overgrown rural crossroads. So I stepped out of the car with my friend at this crossroads, and then another car came up. Suddenly a pack of coyotes came out of nowhere, started hooping and hollering, and as it got real close to us where I could almost touch them, I woke up.
Never anything with a crash or anything like that, though?
No, I've never, when I'm dreaming, I've never personally, like, crashed and I woke up.
There is something dreamlike about driving.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of get into a not fully conscious state, this kind of trance-like state, especially if you're alone, if you're on a long drive.
That's why truckers pop like caffeine and speed pills, because after what, it's the same stretch road over and over you're looking at again. It's just it's a loop. It's
It puts you in an altered state. David Lynch is someone who understands this. He's got a few movies that touch on the way the road is associated with our subconscious.
No, there is something about it.
It makes sense that people imprint so many weird experiences on there.
Especially out here, you know, you're driving down the country roads, you're a trucker going down to TCH, and all you see for hours and hours and hours is just the slash lines coming at you, right?
Yeah.
Just over and over again. You get so used to that any little thing that breaks that cycle, whether it's just a coyote at the side of the road or something off in the trees or where it's any little thing, suddenly you're heightened and that just grabs your attention. You can't make out exactly what you saw, and it throws you for a loop.
You're liable to see a cryptid on the side of the Trans-Canada.
Oh, you're liable to see many cryptids on the side of the Trans-Canada.
I think you showed me this one video of the witch on some road in
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, in Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabian witch. That's getting goosebumps thinking of that one.
But there's lots of videos like that online of people driving down a road. There's this one from, like, the 90s, and there's, like, 10 minutes of them just shooting the shit, and then there's this person stalking them on the road. It's somehow the most terrifying thing.
Yeah, just hold on for a second. Ruffles all-dressed chips, not Lay's old-fashioned. Don't worry, I'm not endorsing Ruffles here, but we couldn't find Lay's old-fashioned. Go on, sorry. So they were in a car behind them, or they were just, like, hanging out on the side of the road?
It was some Blair Witch-type shit. It was probably a fake student project, but the point stands that you can see some weird stuff on the road at night.
Well, I know, like, when we're doing this out here, 1:57 in the morning,
yeah,
near Moorfield, Ontario, if I see a car come up behind me, my automatic assumption is that they're up to no good. Why are they out here as well, you know? Mm-hmm. What business does anyone have being out here at this time driving?
Yes.
A couple weeks later was the second visit with one other friend this time.
Already built up a little bit of a mythos around this spot, and we told a few people, and our one buddy wanted to come out with us. Before we headed there, we went to visit the Comfort Maple out in Pelham near the Niagara region. And for those of you unfamiliar with the Comfort Maple, it is believed to be the oldest sugar maple in Canada, over 500 years old. And it's now settled in this little nice conservation area just off the side of the road. And we go there frequently to visit because it's a very nice spot.
Beautiful old tree with some scars, mm-hmm. which we'll get into. At the site, there are some limbs that have been severed from the tree, presumably headed for the burn pile.
Yeah. Of course, we'd never remove anything from it, but these had already been taken down.
Now this time on the way, you were driving through quite a significant storm.
Yes.
I believe this is the tail end of the nor'easter.
Yes. We drove down the good old 401 through what can only be described as a absolute monsoon. As the rain was just so intense, you couldn't even see the hood of our car. There hasn't been anything else like it this year.
But you made it.
We made it through.
And we embarked.
Yes. And one more detail, too, about this storm. Despite the torrential downpour, the darkness, the wind, the rain, we didn't see any lightning whatsoever. So we get out there.
This was us sort of getting a second opinion.
Yes.
Saying, okay, the first experience is weird, but we can easily chalk all of that up to heightened sort of experiences.
Yeah, we were.
Now, I will stress, though, that openness is how these things occur,
mm-hmm.
and how they snowball.
So this time we decided to go back yet again at midnight. It's the same feeling, and our friend felt it too. We heard some coyotes off in the distance towards...
Not unusual.
No. Towards the north end. We stood there looking north at the, trying to see if we could see the coyotes. We don't see anything on the horizon, and it's approaching midnight. Now, what do we do?
Okay, so this bad behavior harkens back to my youth, where my friends and I, bored in the country, as you do, you look for ways to sort of mess with your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
A famous one is two guys standing on opposite sides of the road, and as a car goes by, you pretend to hold onto a rope, and the car slows down, and aha, you got them.
Yeah.
You got them to slow down their car.
Now, we're older gentlemen now. We don't do silly little games like trying to hold a rope. We want to terrify you as you're driving by. Put the fear of God in you. And I will say, if I were to see that driving down the a back road, two guys at the side of the road, arms stretched up in the air, looking up as though they're in the middle of a sacrifice or something,
right.
I'd be quite terrified. I'd gun it out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that's classic demonic cult behavior right there.
So, you know, in the minutes running up to midnight, arms stretched as the car comes by or something like that.
And those cars speed up. they speed up.
Gravitated towards, of course, arms stretched out in the air, like,
And sort of a
Y shape.
The Y from the YMCA dance.
Yes, and that's important to note later on. We're doing that, we're spooking some cars, and we look at the watch, it's 11:55, so we figure...
So we head to the post.
Now, we have on us, of course, whiskey this time, because we figured, you know, try and replicate the same steps, and we have a piece of the Comfort Maple. Now, for whatever reason, this piece of wood from the Comfort Maple, we decide to burn it up a little bit, get some smoke going, you know, get some scents going, some ambiance. So we light up the Comfort Maple, piece of wood, nice maple scent, there's smoke wafting. We crack open a whiskey, pour some around the post. As we lay it on a post, midnight strikes, and for the first minute or so, we look around, we don't hear anything, we don't see anything. But then as we...
Due north.
As we turned due north...
There was lightning. It struck the same spot again and again and again. For about 5-10 minutes, we were pretty transfixed by this. That's pretty unusual. We're not talking about a storm here. We're not talking about clouds filling up the sky.
At first, we thought it was, you know, those lights in a farmer's field that they use to scare off animals or whatever, they were flashing lights.
Yeah.
But we looked closer, and it was most noticeably lightning.
Clearly, it was bolt lightning.
And it wasn't moving left, right, up, down.
And no thunder.
About as due north as you can get, right under the North Star.
And so we drove after it.
Trying to chase it.
A little bit of amateur storm chasing, but we found nothing. But yeah, by the time we left the crossroads, the lightning had stopped. It was something that was only visible to us at that location.
200 meters down the road, we stopped again and looked, and there was nothing.
All right, what were we talking about before the chips took the wind?
The dreamlike nature of the road, especially at night. Very little to look at. You're just kind of seeing these smudged shapes. And most people are driving around with astigmatism, so you got light flares just smudging across your vision. It's, I don't know, one of my earliest memories is playing with this little handheld steering wheel.
Yeah.
And you're going down this road. Or, you know, like playing with dinky cars or with one of those mats with the city roads on
it. Yeah. You ever play Cross Canada 2 when you were in the trucking game where you were trucking?
Yeah.
I love that game. I was basically just driving a friggin' 18-wheeler down the Trans-Canada Highway the whole game. That's all it was. I couldn't be a trucker. Got mad respect for the truckers because it's a taxing job. You're out there in God knows where, somewhere northern Ontario. And a lot of these roads out there that we've paved for whatever reason really are just halfway between nowhere and somewhere. Well, you break down on the side of the road up there, I hope you got a survival kit in the back. Because if you don't, CAA's not getting to you for a couple days.
Just because you're on the road doesn't mean that there are other people on that road. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're not completely remote. A lot of places you don't want to break down.
No.
I remember one time my family, we were driving up to our cottage, and the alternator blew out on the car, smoke coming out the hood, so we pull off. And we end up on this side road, and it turned into a dirt gravel path, but we couldn't really stop, and turns out it was some farmer's lane. We're kind of at his mercy at 2 a.m. in the morning and just hoping, praying he's going to be friendly. You know, guy comes out with a shotgun. It's like a few seconds of pretty intense fear seeing some guy in just a wife beater with a gun. Turns out he was he knew our family, so
nice. There you go.
I was very lucky.
Yeah.
But
there are
some roads you can go down where you wouldn't be lucky.
Yeah.
Most terrifying episode of the entire Crossroads saga, at least for myself, occurred last Halloween on Black Maple's trip up to Goth Manor of Northern Gothic fame. We visited the terrifying and secluded Victorian Manor up in the Lanark Highlands. I decided to go for a drive by myself late at night. I don't really know what compelled me to go driving out there. Unfamiliar roads, completely unfamiliar area. This is the first time either of us had ever visited the Highlands. But something compelled me, so I hopped in the car and headed out. Drove through town and then decided to take some of the back roads through the very dense and dark woodlands up there. Something which seems pretty unique to the area is the very strange fence lines that run on either side of the road pretty well anywhere you go up there. As opposed to the more traditional picket fences that you see down here in southern Ontario. Up there is a very, very unique and recognizable triangular style of fence. Now, someone in the area, when asking them why exactly this was, they explained to us that it's mainly used to keep livestock in the fields and to keep animals and deer from crossing out onto the road. I'm not sure exactly how true that is. Something about these fences, very unsettling and jarring. So I was driving around that night by myself. I couldn't help but fixate on these fences. Behind them, nothing but trees and the odd house. There's really not much up there. I just kept cruising down the roads, following whatever concession seemed darkest and most isolated, until I found myself unwittingly at yet another crossroads, a very unusual intersection. On all four sides are very thick, dense, and tall woods. Now, one of the roads was running north-south, seemed to be a well-paved and pretty well-maintained rural road. The road running east-west was a very poorly kept, run-down, half-gravel, half-dirt road. Now, me being me, I decided, sure, why not? Let's take a little cruise down there, see what's at the end of the lane. Now, the road was very, very bumpy. I couldn't have been driving more than 15 kilometers an hour. Any signs of other cars going up and down the road? Didn't seem like anybody lived there. And about half a kilometer down from the intersection, a slight curve in the road came up ahead of me. As I went to take this curve, it was as though someone pulled a rug out from underneath my car, and I swerved and ended up in the bushes on the side of the road. And somehow I'd managed to turn my car all the way around, despite the fact that I was going so slow. I still have absolutely no idea what happened. Maybe it was just a loose gravel, or maybe I hit a tree branch or something. It really shook me up, and I sat there for a second, trying to get my bearings back. And as I looked up, I had my high beams on. As I looked up, I realized that right there in front of me, off in the woods, was an abandoned home. Something about it was very off. Not only the fact that it was located so far down this really remote stretch of road and that it was abandoned, something about it didn't seem right. So I got my car back on the road and went pretty quickly back to that intersection. Now, I was pretty shaken up. Me being me, I decided, yeah, why not? I'll just take a quick stop right here at this crossroads. Why not? Why not? Funny enough, earlier in the day, the proprietor of Goth Manor, very coincidentally, or perhaps not at all, as we were pulling out of the driveway of the manor, the last thing she said to us was, you know, don't be afraid to stop at a random crossroads. Those were her exact words. We mentioned to her, it's very, very odd that you would say such a thing to us. And sure enough, 12 hours later, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, here I am. Stopped off at a random crossroads. I was shaken up, a little nervous, and a little bit frightened. So I stepped out of my car, lit up a smoke, turned off all the lights, shut the door, and sat there. It was so dark, the stars were almost casting shadows, you know? So dark it was blinding, if that makes any sense. Oddly enough, this was right around midnight. So I got back into the car, flicked it on, the high beams came on, the car started, and as I looked out in front of me, I saw standing, I have no idea, but what was looking back at me as I flicked on my high beams was the most menacing, pitch black silhouette. It was massive. I couldn't quite tell whether it was humanoid or whether it was an animal, maybe a bear. I couldn't tell because the edges of this silhouette were blurred almost. I've never seen something like this in my life. My heart sunk. I was completely frozen though. I couldn't move. It was like a lightning bolt came down and zapped me. And I sat there in my car for about 30 seconds or so, staring at this large, pitch black, impenetrable, evil silhouette in the middle of the crossroads. I'm not even sure if it was a silhouette or a figure. So, so dark, as though it was sucking in all the light around it. It was as though it was a void. It didn't move either. It was just there, almost looking back at me. After a minute or so, in complete and total shock, I snapped out of it, and I have never sped out of an intersection like I did right there. I squealed my tires, rocks went flying, and I immediately turned on a GPS to get back to Goth Manor. And a drive that took me 20, 25 minutes before maybe took me 8 or 9 minutes. And I messaged my co-host, grab the Bible, grab the cross, grab the holy water, and be ready when I get back. So I come flying up to Goth Manor, I pull up the driveway, and I come walking in the door later that evening. And the next day he described to me, he's never seen me in a state like that. I was almost a ghost. He said my face was pale white, my eyes were glazed, I had a 1,000-yard stare on me. And I honestly can barely remember the drive back. I was just so shaken to the core. And we returned to that crossroads. For at least the first 5 minutes of the drive, I didn't even say a word to him. He asked me a couple times, what happened? Where are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? I couldn't bring myself to recount what I had just experienced. But as we approached, I told him exactly what happened that I had. And he immediately turned to me with fear in his eyes and said, I don't think that was a bear. And it certainly wasn't someone else out there, so it appears as though either the demonic entity who shall not be named, or perhaps the devil himself, had followed us up to the Lanark Islands. So we returned very slowly, parked in the same spot where I was. We opened our Bible. We brought out a large cross, which we had just purchased earlier that day from a nice little shop. And there's something very powerful about it. And it's the central item to our demon hunting kit. It's a very dark wood carved by a half-native United pastor who runs a shop in downtown Lanark Village. It has a beautiful design carved in it with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And of course, we read that. We performed our usual rites, dashed some holy water on all four corners of the crossroads, and thankfully, whatever that large black shadow was didn't return for both of us. So whether it was my mind playing tricks on me, whether it was a bear on the other side of the intersection, or whether it was something otherworldly from down below us coming up, whatever it was, it's something I pray to the Lord that I will never run into again.
I'll show you. I can't explain it until you see it.
This is the road you decided to drive down.
Yep.
You were kind of asking for it.
I think I was. Decided to put on some Gregorian chants. And then when I got to the end, I decided to switch back to that. I brought this upon myself, I think.
To be fair, there is a Coptic monastery not far from here. A Buddhist temple.
Well, this spot's got none of that. Me and the devil.
I feel a little bit like a Jesuit missionary in the 1600s traveling to the New World with just a crucifix and a Bible out into the great dark wilderness.
Get ready. You'll see this is a spot where dumbass me decided to stop and get Robert Johnson.
You got your gun in the trunk, right?
Yep, and ammo.
Do you maybe want to chamber one? Those fences.
I don't like those fences.
Like slanted crosses or something.
Kind of like dying trees with their arms outstretched at the top. I'm just saying.
Is it him? Is it Furfur?
I don't think we're dealing with Furfur anymore, huh?
If not Furfur, then who? The head honcho?
I think we got the head honcho on my case now. I'll wait till we get there. I think we got the top dog. I did something I wasn't supposed to do.
We were joking on the way up here how silly we were to accidentally summon a demon.
Yeah, this one's on me.
Although here I am coming out with you.
I came from there. I pulled into this.
This is a gravel road. Pretty overgrown. Tree sort of leaning in. Okay. There's a car coming down the street.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Is this a private laneway?
No, at the end of it it is. The same speed we're going now. It started veering a little further back is where I stopped, and I ended up facing that.
Oh my goodness.
So like I'm driving in the ditch right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can drive. I ended up like that. Right around where that first sign was, I kind of...
You lost...
Lost it. Control of the wheel. Hit that. See how the branches are all down up in
there?
Oh,
yeah.
And then
you went right into the ditch.
And then I ended up facing that. I'm driving up.
For the record, I don't like this woods at all.
No, they're really reaching over the side of the road.
They're leaning in, like a crowd of people.
So I pulled up right here. So I saw the stop sign, I stopped. And then that's when I realized that this is a crossroads. And then I put on Robert Johnson, Crossroad Blues. Lights my car off. I got outside.
to finish my dirt.
You okay, man?
Hopped back in the car. Clicked on my high beams. I'm not shitting you. There was a big shadow right in front of that post.
Within the headlights there was just a dark spot?
No.
No?
It was like a figure.
A figure? What kind of shape?
Human-ish. Looked almost like the... It looked like a guy. Person standing right in the middle of
them. So I think we should get the cross out.
Uh-huh.
And I think we should read that Bible verse that's inscribed on the cross. At the very least.
Uh-huh. Because I keep backing up the ditches here.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to grab the shoddy?
Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to walk out there. I'll show you what I meant. My shadow right now, but pitch black.
Was it moving?
No, it was standing there. Fuck me. Like that.
Okay, let's get this done. Do you want to leave the lights on? Can you hold this?
Yep. Page 591.
1898.
Year after Dracula came out. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Would you like to read it out?
I'll read it myself too. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto their own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I really never want to come back to this place again in my life. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Nope. Oh, okay.
I'll never come back to this location again. I'm fucking shook. I'm shook up.
Yeah, you are.
I think I just summoned the actual fucking devil on myself.
You didn't. He's trying to scare you.
He's doing a good job right now. He's doing a great job right now. Give me that savior. You're doing a hell of a job, man.
Get your pizza quick. We'll get back to the bonfire.
Ooh.
Maybe we can get to the bottom of this. I'm gonna consult my exorcist friends. Driving back from the Screaming Tunnel.
Oh, yes.
With a buddy of ours in a vehicle that we affectionately named the Blue Bitch, who is no longer with us.
Unfortunately, she passed to the other side.
I mean, God bless that vehicle, but that was like a Flintstones car. I mean, you could practically touch the road
that thing, that was a marvel of human engineering.
Yeah, we'd be listening to failed Scottish pop music, kind of rocking back and forth, and the thing was bouncing like a, like when you're on the top of a Ferris wheel and you're rocking it back and forth. It was ridiculous.
Well, get some backstory, I guess. We were at the Screaming Tunnel in Niagara, which, assuming we probably pissed off whatever spirits in that tunnel, because we, our buddy with the blue bitch, had it decked out with these just absurd blue headlights.
Completely legal.
Yes, fully legal. Blue. These things were just blue.
Yeah, ultraviolet.
And they were so friggin' bright. But we were dumb. The Screaming Tunnel. Mm-hmm. This tunnel has a reputation for fucking screaming at people. Let's shine our bright blue headlights right down the tunnel.
There are haunted, tortured souls.
Yeah.
Forever entombed in there.
And we decided to shine these bright blue headlights down the tunnel.
We pissed something off.
As we did it, we drove off. And as we're coming up on that nightmarish lift bridge going across the Welland Canal, for whatever reason, as soon as he flicked back on his blue lights, it was like someone pulling a carpet out from underneath our car.
Yeah.
We were going, what, maybe 60 kilometers an hour, and going around a slight curve, and this car just started drifting and swerving
fishtailing.
And hydroplaning like I've never seen. If there was another car that was coming towards us, probably would have been T-boned.
It was one of those moments where you can feel your... You're kind of like lifted out of your body almost for a second. You're just not really present.
It's like 12 seconds that last for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That was a weird feeling. And we all, as soon as you got it back under control. Masterful driving from him, getting
absolutely
that back under.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did that.
Because
we were going damn near backwards at one point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually felt anything like that before in my life or since.
Never been in a bad wreck?
I've never been in a car accident, no. And I've never even really been close getting cut off or anything, but you're right, it was like your soul leaving the body. I could see everybody's faces, I could see the outside of the car swerving, even though I was sitting in the back. So obviously in the right frame of mind, we said, fuck it boys, let's go right to the crossroads. So we drove right there, happened, we just knew something was gonna happen. Well, sure enough, right before midnight, we looked due north. And what do we notice but lightning? In the same spot we'd previously seen it. No sound, no thunder, just lightning. And then we looked at that friggin' tree again and felt very, very uneasy. But trying to lighten ourselves up again, gotta have some fun out there. We started playing with the odd driver who came by, standing at the side of the road, four guys in the middle of the night, outstretched arms, you know. What are you, like, trying to freak out these drivers? Like, what the hell are these guys doing? Is that some sort of crazy cult? What the hell am I looking at? You're driving a dark country road, and you see four guys standing on the side of the road around a candle, their arms outstretched. I'd speed up myself. I'd get the hell out of there. So we have our little fun, and then so we head to that little post off of the grass on one of the corners, and we light some sage, and 11:58, my one friend, half jokingly, but half serious, turns to us and says, you know what would be funny, guys, if it started raining right at midnight? We went, yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? I'm looking at my watch, 11:59, flips to midnight. And as soon as it does, it starts raining upon us. We can feel the raindrops hitting us right at the strike of midnight. We didn't even stick around for another minute. We just turned and said, yeah, let's get the hell out of here. So we get back to my buddy's house, and we're sitting on his front porch. So we decided to do some digging. We all sat there smoking our pipes until the early hours of the morning, doing digging on, you know, the Faustian legend of the crossroads. It eventually turned towards demonology. And my co-host looked up the Lesser Key of Solomon, which is a collection of demons from the Middle Ages. I believe there's 72 of them. And we came upon one which instantly struck us.
The 34th spirit of hell, Furfur, is a great and mighty earl, appearing in the form of a hart stag with a fiery tail. He lieth in everything, and never speaketh the truth unless he be compelled, or brought up within a triangle. Being therein, he taketh upon himself an angelical form. When bidden, he speaketh with a hoarse voice. He raiseth thunders and lightnings and blasts. in great tempestuous storms. Where he is commanded, he answereth well. He giveth true answers, both of secret and also of divine things, and hath rule and dominion over 26 legions.
Furfur, I know his name sounds goofy, but research yourself, you'll see pictures of him, commonly depicted as being almost half deer, half human with wings, and in every depiction of him, you see these antlers outstretched in a V-shape, going above his head, in the exact same shape that we outstretched our arms mocking these cars, and the exact same shape of that goddamn tree at the side of his crossroads. And we instantly made the connection. The very first time we visited his crossroads was Victoria Day weekend of last year. And when we first pulled up and stopped, we had actually parked beside this tree at the side of the road. We didn't even realize it until we connected all the dots. And we had a picture from that night of the tree. It was dead by May 2-4 weekend. The tree was completely dead. There were no leaves. The limbs were barren. It was just the dying wood. But we looked at a Google Maps picture and dated from the first week of May of that year. And that tree is there alive and well. Bright green leaves blossoming on that tree. So between the time that picture was taken and the time we first made our way to the crossroads, that tree had completely died. The only two limbs left outstretched like a V, like two arms reaching towards the sky. And inside of that was what appeared to be two little antlers as well. And it looked like a face, almost like the head of a deer looking at this black maple, like a flash of lightning. Everything all connected. Well, we realized that the only way forward, the two of us, me and my co, was to perform an exorcism and put an end to this once and for all.
Another experience in the Blue Ridge, we went to Point Clark Lighthouse, and as we were coming back, because driving from Kitchener to the Point Clark Lighthouse is like driving across a black hole. That is nothing. That stretch, oh, going there like Godridge, that is nothing out there.
Molesworth,
Ontario. Nice. That's a stretch of nothingness, and that's full on Mennonite country out there. So as we were coming back, straight, flat, dark road, and suddenly in the headlights, there are two reflective lights on either side of the road. We got up closer to it, and we realized that there are two reflective signs on the back of, like, a buggy, horse buggy, on either side of the road, like Mennonite horse buggy.
Yeah.
Which in and itself isn't really odd, but it was like 2 in the morning, and we pulled up to one of these buggies, because one was going one way, the other was going the other way, but they weren't moving that fast, and we pulled up, and I swear to God, for a brief second, I couldn't see the driver.
Right.
I couldn't see the Mennonite guy riding it. And for just that brief second, like, my heart sunk.
Yeah.
And chills going through my, because I was like, am I like seeing a riderless buggy right now? And then we called out, like, hello, hello. And then he pulled back the curtain that was blocking him. And he just said, they're out for a midnight buggy ride.
Yeah, you have any other creepy experiences on, like, trails or paths?
Yeah, and there's a lot of those floating around online through a lot of stories about people on, you know, like, old rail trails or something, where they're walking, and, you know, they'll pass a couple, and the couple's normal, they say hi, and then they'll pass a biker, and then suddenly the next person they see is, like, something off about them, you know?
Yeah.
They'll see a person, whoa, I think that was a cat. They'll see a person walking oddly, or staring at them oddly. And I've had a couple of those experiences where you're walking down a trail and you'll see someone, you might even nod at them, they might even nod back, but the interaction is just weird, it's just creepy, there's something off-putting and something not right about this person. There was one of the rail, I guess Chinook Rail Trail in Hamilton, where there is this big steel bridge that goes over one of the waterfalls and the ravines that goes down the escarpment. And I was there one time, must have been like a few years ago. It was a pretty dreary day, kind of like foggy and rainy, so not many people on the trail. And I was just walking there, going for a hike. And I'm crossing the bridge, and on the other side, like 100 feet away, there's just a woman standing there in the middle of the trail, And something immediately like struck me as off about her. I guess she like either looked disheveled or not properly put together. Like subconsciously, I could tell it. I didn't want to approach her. Something told me not to. And she just sat there, arms in front of her, looking off into the woods. Didn't say a word. I didn't even know if she saw me. Looking around, and then she turned around and headed down one of the side trails into the woods. It's just stuff like that.
You ever see a person just standing in the middle of the road at night? Well, there's a lot of mysterious folklore around the road from before the invention of the automobile as well. It's always been a source of strange travelers and drifters and vagabonds and
highwaymen,
ghost riders. You ever read the Cormac McCarthy novel, The Road? The basic gist is that the world has ended.
Yeah.
It's in essentially an unrecoverable decline. And a man and his son are walking this road. They're running into occasionally other people and desolate scenes. McCarthy has this deep pessimism, but there's this sense that you have to just keep walking that road because that's what people do. People keep moving. We're always on the road, no matter if we like it or not. The road's going somewhere. It's leading us somewhere. You can never really see beyond the highway marker, but
there's something else out there.
You hope.
Still waiting for that time when we come up over a hill and finally reach the edge of this map. It's got to be out here somewhere. We'll find it one of these days.
You could keep driving and driving for years if you had, like, a perpetual motion machine, if you had unlimited fuel. You could just keep driving around in circles until you go delirious and crazy. Just live on the road. You got to wonder if there are people like that, that just live on the road.
Yeah. You got those people buying old box van, soup it up.
Van life.
Yeah, van life, van people. You got the van. Don't get me wrong, I would love to do that, but I wouldn't, like, you know, wouldn't be continuously driving with it going from place to place like some of these people who will drive across the continent hundreds of thousands of kilometers a year, stopping each night, sleeping in the back of the van, just to, there's a whole subculture around that.
Eventually, you gotta make a home, right? Well, the road allows you to just pick up and leave.
Yeah.
You know, the serial killer was practically invented by the road.
Yeah.
By the prominence of interstate travel.
Disappear. You know,
yeah, you'll just drive over to Ohio, kill some prostitutes on the side of the road.
It's a highway of tears.
Yeah.
Out in BC.
Yeah.
Picton. There's a lot of that back to the transient lifestyle, right?
Where
people you'll pick up on the side of a remote country road, nobody really thinks about them, no one knows they exist. Are they really even, like, in the system? Who's gonna notice they're missing, right?
Hitchhiking in current era really gives you a sense of how low trust has gotten in our society.
Inherently, there's not much wrong with pickpocketing. Yeah. Inherently, there's not much wrong with hitchhiking. You know, you trust that you stick your thumb out, nice, good Samaritan will give you a lift to wherever you're going, right? But nowadays, that's all you hear. All you hear is don't pickpocket, don't. Don't hitchhike.
It's been tarnished on both ends, too. I mean, you don't want to be the one picking up a hitchhiker who turns out to be some type of murderous psychopath as well,
right? You don't want to be getting in the car with me either. You know, there must have been something that started this hysteria.
Well, I know the Manson stuff really freaked out a lot of people.
It's a pretty widespread moral panic, hitchhiking.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's a shame because, you know, I'd love to hitchhike to wherever.
We're near Wingham.
Let's go to Wingham. It's only 6 kilometers away. Wing it to Wingham. To Wingham, and I'll check on the map where the fuck we are.
You ever see that photo going around of some highway somewhere in anywhere in the United States or Canada? It's just this highway, and it's got like a million signs on it, like McDonald's sign.
Yeah. There's a title for it. A capitalist utopia or something like that.
Well, what it is really, though, is just a scene from the road.
Yep.
If you want to have some cross-country road trip, you're going to end up seeing a lot of
Exxons.
Yeah, a lot of
McDonald's.
What most people would probably find very ugly. But there's also there's something comforting to like a truck stop at 6 a.m. when the fog's clearing and you're seeing those neon lights flashing through and you got ELO playing on the radio.
Yeah.
It's weird how that becomes home, despite how not...
Exact opposite of home.
Homely it is.
It's comforting. It's welcoming for some reason. Even though it really shouldn't be, because everything about it's off-putting.
Yeah,
I know the exact image you're thinking of. That's pretty well the same up here in Ontario, minus, different companies.
Yeah, I often think driving through maybe Mississauga or the GTA, you could be anywhere right now. The road is just indistinguishable from any other of equal size. The
same goes even with small town Ontario.
Yeah.
Any small town out here, you drive through, they're going to have either a Circle K or a Husky or a Ultramar, a Tim Horton, a Subway. And if the town's big enough, either like a TD or a Scotia Bank. But always those same neon signs, the same 6-7 different companies that you'll see in any small town. It's just the way of the road.
Think of how many signs and symbols you're just inundated with driving as well.
I'd love to be the guy who started a freaking road sign business.
Yeah.
Back in the 30s, 40s. Like,
yeah.
Damn.
There's an entire semiotic language to it. Universal symbols.
Where are we at now? Ontario is West
Wingham.
Coast. Fuck John Deere. Wingham, Ontario. Bring up Wingham, see if anything of note's ever happened.
Is there a Wingham Ripper?
Mad Winger of Wingham. Of course, there's no OG slots out here. Yeah, good old Timmy's.
Wow. Are you thinking what you're thinking?
You know what I'm thinking.
Should we keep this in the recording?
Yeah, fuck it.
So it is daytime, and we're on your property.
Yep.
Saturday, December 21st, night of the winter solstice. My co-host and I began making our preparations for what would be the final culmination of a series of troubles that began over 6 months prior. We stopped in at the home of a local crystal healer to acquire two gemstones, our birthstones, turquoise and topaz. When one of us picked up a sapphire, it shattered instantly. From there, we arranged a few more supplies, our trusty wooden cross, Bible, a vial of holy water, a bag of kosher salt, a bottle of whiskey, and a box of matches. Then we hopped in Christine, the old reliable automobile, and after sharing one final glance of uncertainty, steeled our resolve and set off towards the crossroads. After a long, silent car ride, we arrived right around sundown. A demonologist we consulted recommended we perform the ritual at midnight, and so we waited. Then, after an eternity, with minutes to go until midnight, the headlights blacked out and the sound system trailed off to the lyrics of Robert Johnson. We stepped out of Christine and approached the crossroads. As we walked across its threshold, a powerful gust of air swept across us with a low moan and a cold sting. The wind began picking up dramatically, coming from the west, seemingly targeted directly toward us. A pack of coyotes began wailing like a demented church choir. And with that, we were there, under a moonlit night, standing before the twisted, outstretching carcass of a black maple. Once just a tree, now inhabited by a malicious demonic entity which had drained its life, and in a way, our lives as well. Approaching slowly, we began the first step of the ritual. In the center of the crossroads, we poured a large circle of salt. Inside the circle, a triangle which pointed at the base of the tree. We poured out the bottle of whiskey as a mirror of our initial mistaken offering. Then we took our places at the two back corners of the triangle. From there, we read from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. As we read, the street lamps up the laneway and the lights at a distant farmhouse began flickering. The wind by that point had reached a howl, threatening to knock us both over. There was only one step left in the ritual. With the freezing wind, we worried that our matches wouldn't light. But as we stood there beneath the black maple and struck our matches, both took light instantly and remained lit. We tossed them at the wretched tree, and the whiskey we had poured burned up in a flash of cleansing fire, until only the faint black smoke and the smell of sulfur remained. One final gust of wind, the strongest yet, surged over us and across the fields. There was the sound of scurrying footsteps, leading from the tree out through the snow into the edge of the forest. And then, silence. And with that, our dealings with the demon Furfur were settled. Now you may be thinking, why didn't you take a recording? We did. But just as with our first episode, which was recorded at midnight at a graveyard as a heavy fog rolled through, the audio was lost, the file corrupted and unlistenable. Only minutes of noise, like this. To this day, we haven't returned to that crossroads, nor do either of us intend to. Because intention, after all, is what led us down that dark path in the first place. Whether or not you believe in demons, or ghosts, or anything else that goes bump in the night, you should be warned that certain forces don't require your belief. They simply exist beyond our understanding. And when met with intention, the right intention or the wrong intention, they can find a way into our world and into our lives.
I guess you could consider this a epilogue to the Crossroads saga, or perhaps it is the first chapter in a new book. At the time we recorded our previous bits, recounting our original Crossroad experiences, we had believed that our final exorcism was the death knell of this story. We put the final nail in the coffin and we vanquished the demons from those crossroads and from our lives. But very recently, as in just a few days ago, it would appear that this long-running arc is not over. I was actually out earlier this week, driving around the void, just exploring the back roads. I happened upon this completely unmarked church and cemetery on some laneway out near who knows where. It was a beautiful little cemetery. There's no markings, no signs, no windows on this church either. Just a big white door, stone facade, and the address marker out by the road. This is like 3 a.m. as I was just exploring. Pulled over, parked the car off the side of the lane, walked into the cemetery, sat there for a bit as I usually do, lit up my pipe, enjoyed myself. It was very quiet, very clear, deathly quiet. It was all by myself, it would appear. Walked out of the cemetery, past the very old tombstones, and stopped in the center of the road, and one side was sloping upwards, the other side was sloping upwards. I was kind of in a little valley, I guess, and I turned back, and as I looked up, there, silhouetted on that faint glow of the city lights, was a person. At least I hope it was a person. Unfortunately, I don't think it was a person. Yet again, I thought I'd I thought I'd reach the end of this. Yet again, staring back at me by myself in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, was a pitch black figure stalking me. And I froze. And I just looked at it. And then I looked down to unlock my car to drive away. And as I looked back up, he, or it, was gone in an instant. As I stated at the very start of our season finale here, everything we're telling you is emphatically and undoubtedly and completely the truth, our true experiences. This has all happened to us. We may sound off our rocker. We may sound crazy. Skeptics might not believe us. A lot of you listening might not believe us. But for those who've experienced the same things, you know it is quite real. Demons, spirits, phantoms, otherworldly entities, they are out there. And you will run into them if you are unfortunate enough to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it would appear that even though the two of us at Black Maple ran into one before and kicked him to the curb, Furfur, the great Earl of Hell, I'm laughing nervously now, but I'm praying that we haven't accidentally summoned the big man, King of Hell himself, the devil, yet again. I prayed and thought it was all over. There I was, staring back at a pitch black silhouette in the middle of the night, in the middle of a road, all by myself. So, hopefully, this was a one-off encounter. Maybe he was just reminding me to be careful. What if it turns out that we're launching ourselves onto a new arc? Should we still be around to talk about it? I hope you'll still be around to listen. Everything that's happened in our past, and with my own personal luck, I don't think we've reached the end of this. And I'm sure Black Maple will have some more stories to tell and some more terrifying encounters to recount, and probably quite soon. So, thank you very much for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this two-parter finale to Black Maple Season 1. And if we have not been dragged into the depths of hell or sucked into the void, then we'll talk to you soon. So Godspeed, stay safe, and I'll see you on the other side.
strong. It's a Creepy Canada episode on this guy.
That's what I remember from. That's a great show.
Great show.
We gotta bring that back.
They do. We're bringing that back.
Brian O'Day.
We should get him on.
I love Brian O'Day. Former drug smuggler.
Yep.
Turned into Creepy Canada host.
We should get him on.
I would love to have Brian O'Day on the show.
We should send this to him.
Honestly, let's see if we can nab him. We gotta start getting some, you know, celebrity appearances on here.
Sure.
Brian O'Day.
Special guests.
Sophie Gregoire Trudeau.
Yes.
Who else we thinking? Who's someone relevant, spooky and Canadian?
Spooky Canadians.
Is there such thing as a spooky Canadian? There's us.
Yeah.
There's two of us. Who's someone relevant? Damn, Canada, you're coming up short again.
Man.
All right, go ahead. You want some?
Sure.
I still stand by Lay's old fashioned chips. It's the official chip of Black Mirror.
I'm still waiting to hear back from Lay's. I messaged them on Twitter and nothing.
We'll keep harassing them. I'll follow them on Instagram and start spamming them. Lay's and Brigham Pint.
Yeah, I mean the Freemason Lodge of Russia followed us on Instagram.
So, I had nothing to do with that either. I didn't even.
Yeah.
That was odd.
Word gets out.
It's heavy a deal. We've been there before, so let's keep going straight.
We got listeners in high places.
Oh, yeah. Our listeners all over.
Sophie Trudeau, we're talking to you.
I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Hope you recover from the virus. I know it's probably stressful in Ottawa right now, Rideau Cards, with all this going on. If you want to just sit back, relax.
Pour yourself a glass of rosé.
Get a bath, play on a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
Black Maple, we're here for you.
Tuck.
I want to keep that in. I know it's a bad idea. I really want to keep that in.
I mean, I've been slipping subliminal sex chakra activating tones underneath our voices.
For a role.
Yeah, just beaming binaural pleasure frequencies into our listeners.
We got the road episode right now. We got to figure out what subliminal messaging to play underneath it for this one. Definitely every episode that we do from now on, there has to be some sort of subliminal messaging slipped in there.
Yeah.